بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. رب هب لي حكما والحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين. Respected listeners, we continue with our topic, and that is the Quran Sharif and the benefits, the virtues of reciting the Quran Sharif, and especially in this month of Ramadan, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. This is the month in which the Quran Sharif was revealed. Yesterday we explained to you Inzal and Tanzil, the difference. If you missed out Inzal, that is one shot, and we said from Lawhul Mahfuz onto Baytul Izzah above the Kaaba Sharif, that was one shot. And then from Baytul Izzah through the medium of the truthful Jibreel alayhi salam, As-Sadiqul Mastuq, from one truthful to the next truthful, from Al-Haq through the institution medium of Jibreel alayhi salam onto As-Sadiqul Mastuq, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that took place, we said, to 23 years. And from Baytul Ma'mur, or you want to say Baytul Izzah, so there it came down over the period of 23 years onto Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The virtues of the Quran Sharif, and we want to capitalize in this month. ثَلَاثٌ تَحْتَ الْعَرْشِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. There will be on the day of judgment three things that will be under the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal, under the shade of the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. So other hadith we find there are seven, this hadith we find there are three. So how do we reconcile? So it's not restricted to a specific number. So it is like I'm giving particular advice on this day, so I offer three golden pieces of advice, for example. On another day I say, year is seven and you will achieve this year. So I say, three, on this occasion, you will get so many virtues, or you will get the same virtue if you do these three actions. On another day I say, if you do these seven actions, you will get a virtue, you will get the same virtue. So all is indicating that I will get that virtue. Sometimes I'm including in the seven that I included in the three. So it is pointing out to you that whichever, it's not restricted, it's not contradictory to other hadith. So when you come here and you see on the day of Qiyamah, three things will be under the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. One, the Quran Sharif, Al-Quranu yuhajjul ibad lahu Dahrun wa batnun wal ama. So yeah, the Quran Sharif, the Quran which will argue with men, the Quran has both an apparent and deeper meaning. The second, wal amanatu wal rahimu, and amanat and ar rahimu, kinship. These two, the second amanat, that will also be under the arsh, under the shade of the arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the third, Ar-Rahimu, that is kinship, which will proclaim, Dunadil Amna, Dunadil Aman, Wasalani, and he will proclaim, O Allah, have mercy on the person who upheld me, and deprive him of your mercy, whosoever severed me. So these three things will be under the shade of the arsh. It signifies the utmost nearness in the sublime presence of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Quran will argue means that it will plead the cause of those people who read it, respect it, and act upon its commandments. It will intercede on their behalf and solicit upgrading of their rank. If you see Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayh, and he mentions the narration on the authority of Tirmidhi, that in the presence of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, the Quran Sharif will beg Allah to grant an apparel to its reader, Allah Azawajal will give him a crown of honor. The Quran will again beg for additional favors for him. Thereupon, Allah Azawajal will award the reader a complete robe of honor. The Quran Sharif will again beseech Allah to be pleased with him, and Allah Azawajal will express his pleasure to him. We find that in this life, that the pleasure of the beloved is considered to be the most, the best, the most coveted gift. Similarly, in the life of the year after, no bounty shall stand comparison with the pleasure of our beloved Almighty Allah Azawajal. And in the case of those who ignore their duty towards the Quran Sharif, it will challenge them, saying, did you care for me? Did you fulfill your obligations towards me? It has been reported on the authority of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi in Ihya that it is the due right of the Quran Sharif that it should be read completely twice a year. Those of us who never care to read the Quran Sharif should first consider how they will defend themselves against such a strong plaintiff. Death is inevitable and there can be no escape from it. The meaning of the expression body and spirit of the Quran is evident. The Quran has an apparent meaning which can be understood by all, but the deeper spiritual significance is not understood by everybody. It is in this connection that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever expresses his personal opinion in respect of anything in the Quran Sharif, he commits a mistake, even if he be right in his opinion. Some scholars hold that the word outward, the body of the Quran, refers to its words, which can be recited properly by everybody, and the word inward, spirit, refers to its meanings, its underlying ideas, the understanding of which varies with the ability of the readers. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, if you seek knowledge, you should meditate on the meanings of the Quran, because it embodies the history of the former times as well as of the latter. It is, however, essential to observe the prerequisites for interpreting the Quran. An unbecoming present-day fashion is that even those who possess little or no knowledge of Arabic vocabulary offer their personal opinion on the basis of vernacular translations of the Quran. Specialists have laid down that anyone attempting a commentary of the Quran Sharif should be well versed in 15 subjects. Number one, Lughat. This is the philology of language which helps in understanding the appropriate meanings of the words. Mujahid says, one who believes in Allah in the last day of judgment should not open his lips in respect of the Quran unless he is thoroughly conversant with the philology of the Arabic language. Quite often an Arabic word has several meanings. A person may be knowing only one or two of them, though in a given context the actual meaning may be quite different. Number two, Nahwa. This is syntax, a branch of grammar which helps in understanding the relation of a sentence with another, and also I'rab. This is the vowel sounds of the letters of a word. A change in I'rab often means a change in the meaning. Sarf. This means, and this is a branch of grammar which helps in knowing the root words and the conjunctions, conjugations. The meaning of a word changes with the change in the root and with the change in its conjugation. Ibn Faris says, one who loses the knowledge of sarf loses a great deal. Alama Zamakhshari, rahmatullahi alayhi, mentions that when a certain person set to translate, يَوْمَ نَدْعُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ, on the day that we shall call each and every people after their leader, ignorantly read it thus, on the day that we shall call each people after their mother. So, Allama Zamakhshari rahmatullah alayhi mentions that when a certain person set to translate this verse, يَوْمَ نَدْعُ كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ, on the day that we shall call each and every people after their leader, this ignorant person, Allama Zamakhshari rahmatullah alayhi, says, rendered this translation as follows, on the day that we shall call each people after their mother. He supposed that the singular Arabic word imam was the plural of the word and if he had to be conversant with the sarf, he would have understood that the plural of is not imam. So this is what we say, that you have to be an expert in particular fields before you can actually make tafsir. What we say is just tafsir of a particular of what Mufti Shafi Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi said. Those who were experts, we just merely conveying to you what they have explained. So that is when we say tafsir. But the real mufassireen are those who extract, who have that particular knowledge, and they come up with their own, not their own, they use the expertise and they then look and see from this angle this is covered. But it's all done within the four schools of thought. It's all done within the parameters which has been given and set out. Number four, istihqaq, the derivatives. It is necessary to have knowledge of derivatives and their root words. Because if a word has been derived from two different root words, it will have two different meanings. The word masih is derivable from masah, which means to touch or to move, wet hands over, and also from masahat, which means measurement. If you look at number five, ilmul ma'ani, the knowledge of semantics, because phrase constructions are understood from their meanings. Number six, ilmul bayan, the knowledge of figures of speech, like similes and metaphors, due to which expressions or shades of meaning or similes and metaphors become known. Number seven, ilmul badi', knowledge of rhetoric, the knowledge which reveals the beauty of language and its implications. Number eight, ilmul qirat, the knowledge of the art of pronunciation, because different knowledge or different methods of recitation sometimes convey different meanings, and sometimes one meaning is to be preferred over the other. Number nine, ilmul aqaid, knowledge of the fundamentals of faith. This is necessary to explain certain analogies, the literal meaning of certain verses. If you look at it, referring to Almighty Allah is not the correct one. For example, the analogy in the verse, يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, the hand, if you have to do literal translation, the hand of Allah is over their hands. It will have to be explained, because Allah has no physical hands, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٍ. So the mufassirin will then come and tell you this here means the power, the help, assistance of Allah. So, number 10, usulul fiqh, the principles of Islamic jurisprudence. These are necessary for reasoning out and finding arguments in the basic support of statements. Number 11, asbabun nuzul, the particular circumstances which cause the revelation. The meaning of an ayat will be better understood if we know how and when it had been revealed. Sometimes the true meaning of an ayat or verse is understood only if we know the circumstances in which the verse had been revealed. Nasikh, number 12, Nasikh wa mansukh, the knowledge of commandments that have subsequently been abrogated or changed, so that abrogated commandments may be distinguished from the standing ones. That is number 12. Then number 13, ilmul fiqh, the knowledge of Islamic jurisprudence, as well as the, because it is only through this knowledge that we arrive at a complete understanding of general principles. So one was usulul fiqh. This is ilmul fiqh. Then number 14, knowledge of such a hadith that happened to be commentary on certain brief verses of the Quran. And number 15, the last but most important, is ilmul wahbi, the great gift of understanding bestowed by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. And as is referred to in the hadith, Man amila bima alima, warathahu Allahu ilma ma lam ya'lam. Whoever acts upon that which he knows, Allah Azza wa Jal bestows upon him the knowledge of things not known to him.
Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, it was the special understanding that was actually implied in the reply of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu when he was asked by the people if he had received the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam any special knowledge or instructions which were not received by others. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu said, I swear by him who made the paradise and created life that I possess nothing special except the clear understanding which Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal bestows on a person in respect of the Quran Sharif. Ibn Abi Dunya says that knowledge of the Quran Sharif and that which can be derived out of it are as vast as a boundless ocean. These branches of knowledge described are like tools, essential prerequisite for a commentator. A commentary written by a person who is not thoroughly acquainted with these branches of knowledge will be based on his personal opinions, which is prohibited. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam already had Rasul, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they already had Arabic language as their mother tongue, and they reached the depth of the rest of the knowledge by means of the illuminating contact that they actually had. That is why they are known as Sahaba. They were Mujahideen, they were every sort which you could think of, but in terms of that which is going to bring you close to Allah and those qualities, they were total masters in it. But this Sahaba was chosen for them because of their relationship with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is it. Allama Suyuti rahimullah says that those who think that it is beyond the capacity of man to acquire ilme wahbi or gifted understanding are not right. To get this knowledge from Allah, one should adopt the means to this end, example, and that is acting upon your knowledge that one has acquired, and this inclination towards the world will enable you to get to the state. It is stated that there are three persons which are not blessed with the complete understanding of the Quran Sharif. First, one who is not well versed in Arabic. Secondly, one who persists in committing a major sin or indulges in act of religious innovation, because these actions actually blacken his heart, which in turn prevents him from understanding the Quran. And thirdly, one who is a rationalist, even in the matter of faith, and feels embarrassed when he reads an ayat of the Quran which is unable to fully rationalize. May Allah protect us from such. Allahumma ihfazna min. May Allah protect us from all such sins and evils. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, put us onto the straight path, the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim. Today we've covered those. What is it to be, when you say Mufassir, he's a Mufassir. So what knowledge do you have to have to do commentary in terms of your own commentary, and to make it, to allow it, to enable it to have worth in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal? So this, you have to have knowledge of all these sciences. It cannot be based on opinions, like you get certain individuals, Ayyub Kareem, etc., who reject a hadith, and then he wants to make commentary of the Quran Sharif. These such peoples are long out of the fold of Islam. May Allah protect me. May Allah give him iman and understanding again to realize that this is not for him. So he should come out and realize this. The other day, he just made a statement. He made a statement and said, it is not said in the Quran Sharif that Isa alayhi salam is going to come a second time. So this belief is not true, because the Quran Sharif does not say so. But he forgets that there are other verses of the Quran Sharif which mentions that the speech of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. And in another verse, if you go to Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, verse 44, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ, we have revealed to you this reminder, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, so that you may expound and explain in detail what has been revealed to the people, and so that they may ponder. So these are verses which explicitly tell you that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam's speech, understanding has to be part of it. He rejects it. And then there are others who accept hadith, but then they go into their own personal opinions. So all of this has to be within the confines of the Sharia. May Allah grant us, protect us, and give us the understanding. So this was our session of Ulumul Quran, understanding the sciences behind a Mufassir. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.